help your child with their homework is going to be the title for this podcast episode. Of course, you are tuned in to Coach Senior and Mr. Cage. Today is July the 2nd, 2019. I'm located in Joliet, Illinois, and it's hot. It's hot. We won't complain. We will be thankful for the heat. 4th of July is on a brink, and I want you to enjoy it with your family. I pray that you rest a bit, enjoy it, soak it up, enjoy your friends and family and all the festivities that come with that. But we have a discussion, we have a major discussion to be involved in, and hence my title for this podcast is Help Your Child with Their Homework. And as we go into the conversation, I want to allude to the previous podcast that was entitled Do Your Homework for my young people, my teens, and those who may be in junior high school, even those in college, but specifically tailored towards those in high school. And I'm going to do a brief review, because I have to do this review of that discussion in order to transition us as adults to be able to help our kids with their homework. And we redefine homework, and I'll give you what we define in the conversation entail, was that homework is an application of what we've been taught when we leave the building. We understand that all of us came, I would say the majority of us came up within the education system. The majority of us went to school. And when we went to school, doing homework was important because there was assignments given to us from our teachers, but also our parents really pushed homework. But as we redefine homework, we're talking about homework under the umbrella of life skills. And when I say life skills, I mean in terms of being a part of different programs, because as Divine Works Education and Training, we go out to different organizations and complement and support the programming that's already taking place to help at-risk youth or teenagers in general. And when you get taught life skills, there's a difference between that and academics. Sometimes academic skills cannot be applied outside of the realm of the four walls of the building, hence the school that our children have been taught in, because they have yet to transition into that career field. That doesn't connect with them being taught life skills inside of an education system, whether it be a school or a community center, which is teaching life skills. Therefore, it's important that when they leave the building, they don't leave the information in connection with the life skills in the building, but they apply it in their daily living. This is of utmost significance, especially in the times that we in right now, the 2019, 20, 21, 22, all the way up to 50. It's going to be very, very important. There's a lot of things taking place in society, and we have to be the people that walk in integrity, and we have to be those people that are men and women of the words that we speak. Therefore, when I say something, I do it, and when I do it, it's because I've already said it. One other statement in connection with that last podcast for the kids was that if we don't do our homework, hypocrisy is inevitable. Hypocrisy is, I'm a play actor, I'm not a man of my word, I'm saying things that I'm not following through with in terms of life skills. And that, again, times two, is of utmost importance. It's significant, imperative, and pivotal. When you are given an assignment, you look forward to doing your homework. When you understand who you are, who God calls you to be, you look forward to doing homework, because when you apply the life skills in your life, they internalize and they become a part of who you are, and it's connected with the nature of who you are. Moving forward for my parents, I want to say, you got any questions? Because this is going to be a profound conversation. I'm going to keep it as simple as possible because I want you to be able to understand the sense of urgency that is now in 2019, in July 2019. There's a sense of urgency in the universe, on the planet, in the world, in America, but especially in Illinois. We'll take a quick break and then we'll transition back into helping your child. Let's move into this real quickly. Helping your child with their homework. I'm gonna give you a couple statistics, or not statistics, I'm gonna give you some facts that took place in the past 2 days in the state of Illinois. Right now, the motor fuel tax in Illinois has doubled from 19 cents per gallon to 38 cents per gallon. The motor fuel tax will now be tied to what is called the consumer price index, meaning that it will automatically continue to increase annually on a yearly basis with inflation. The estimates from our new mayor that the gas tax will generate $590 million in the fiscal year of 2020. Come on. Lastly, vehicle registration fees are increasing from $101 to $151 per vehicle beginning 2021. You have 1 year to bring your ducats together to withstand this $150. I just paid my fee the other day. It was $101. Praise the Lord. But I give you these 1, 2, 3, 4 factual statements because these are external circumstances that have taken place in the past day. These are external circumstances, external, outside circumstances. And the reason why I wanted to connect this and that, this with that topic itself, because many times when external circumstances such as these take place, people begin to make adjustments externally. People begin to identify ways that they can save money. People will try to save money, go to school, look for a new job, look for a promotion, or work more hours. But at times, us as individuals, we do not reevaluate our skill set. We don't reinvent our identity with the help of God. We don't think about doing things a different way than we normally accustomed to doing them. Meaning the saving more money, going to school, looking for a new job, looking for a promotion, working more hours. In my situation, I'm in a whole different season as far as learning more intensely and intrinsically about finances, but not even including the new information that I've learned in the past 2 months or so, I would reevaluate the services that I provide to the community, to my employers, and I would look for a problem, a trend, and then I would repackage what I offer and intense the value. And then with intensifying the value, the price point intenses because it's a value to people. I'm not looking to work more hours. I'm not looking for another job. I'm not looking to go to school. I'm revaluing what I offer to the community based on the need that I see. However, that may not take place. And the point that I want to bring in this segment is that we respond to external changes externally. Sometimes we don't even pray and ask God, okay, this is taking place. What changes on the inside do I have to make of my perception? I want your perception in order for me to make wise decisions for my life and for my family. If we go external with this, our kids will follow us externally. They'll follow what we do externally. How can we help them do the work, do the homework when they're getting taught, and when I teach life skills, I'm teaching internally character, who you are as an individual. But if we're going to help them do the work, then if we take a stance of doing things externally as adults, then they're going to take that same stance. Let me give you a quick pause and we will come back. I'll touch base with you in a second. All right, as we return, I gave the four situations that dealt with external circumstances and people responding externally in regards to different tax hikes and, you know, tax hikes and increases. And we understand that our kids will respond to the behavior that we model. In this podcast, I want to give us some clarity on how to walk the talk. And my statement is this: the transformation of our inward thinking changes our outward behavior. Listen, times two. This is podcast entitled Helping Your Child with Their Homework, what they learn in terms of life skills and their application of that. If that is to take place, we have to walk the talk. We have to be consistent in what we say we're going to do. So I'm reevaluating the narrative with this statement and saying that the transformation of our inward thinking changes our outward behavior. Taking in consideration the four different factual statements that I gave you, if I don't respond externally first, but I respond internally, then my internal transformation, my renewal of my mind, will change my outward behavior, hence change my outcomes. So I'm going to give you a practical method on how to help your child with their homework. In regards to this, now let's say that you've been through the process and your inward thinking has been transformed through Christ and it's changing your outward behavior. However, that outward behavior is reflected to you consistently. However, you still have to be able to monitor it. But I want to give, in this last segment, I want to give people an understanding of what mentoring is, what modeling behavior is, and what monitoring behavior is. So I'm going to allude to this document that I received when I was employed at Joliet Job Corps. I received tremendous training from tremendous individuals. I want to throw this out to the audience, and you apply it as you will, but apply it quickly. So I would, if you, I know there's a podcast. Podcasts are normally conversation, but I want to transition more into the teaching aspect of podcasting. And if you feel as though you want to take notes, feel free to take notes. I'm going to touch just on the modeling portion of this exercise and in reference to the career success standards set forth by the National Office of Job Corps. This is a guide that back in the day when I was there, they gave us to follow. I'm sure it was a part of the orientation packet, but I wanted to share it with my audience to help us transition and help our kids with what they learn in terms of in our care in retrospect to life skills, so we can have some consistency in their behavior. Because these changes that I've released to you in regards to Illinois are already present. Now there's has to be a response. Is your response going to be external or internal? I would suggest an internal response first, then an external. That would be my response to you as a suggestion. Let's talk about mentoring real fast. Mentoring is coaching and support to young people. Everyone has the potential to be a mentor, but everybody is not willing to go through the process of what it takes to be a mentor. Being a mentor is not something that it should be taken lightly. In my experience, I've had young people come to me consistently asking me to be their mentor without understanding the whole equation of being a mentor. If that does happen, then I would ask the young person, what is a mentor? What does it mean? You know, what does it mean to you? And then I would complement their definition with a definition that would be from my own experience of what I've been taught. But for this podcast, I want to give a definition of it based on my reference tool. And mentoring is defined as a sustained relationship between a young person and an adult, in which the adult provides the young person with support and guidance. The foundation of mentoring is the idea that if caring, concerned adults are available to young people, they will be more likely to become successful adults themselves. It's a true statement. It is important for young people to know that we care about and support them. Everybody can mentor students. What makes mentoring effective is reinforcement. Reinforcement is a stimulus which follows and is contingent on a behavior and increases the probability of the behavior. Positive reinforcement must be valued, preferred, and individualized. What may be motivated for one person may be useless to another. What does all this mean? We provide guidance and support. A mentor is a coach. A mentor can be posed as a teacher, you know, as far as the information, the wisdom, and the understanding. But a mentor is primarily a coach. A coach asks questions. A coach instructs. A coach guides and supports. So let's get that understanding. When I mentor, I ask questions, a lot of questions. And when the young people come with the answers, I either defer their response or I'll confirm it and add to it. There are times when I just provide outright instruction. It's all dependent on what I'm sensing in my heart and in my spirit at the time. But many times I'm asking more questions and listening than I am providing answers, because I'm teaching them how to critically think and come up with the answers on their own, on a natural plutonic level. But I understand that deep down in the recess of who they are, God is brooding in them and giving them answers. One key aspect is reinforcement. We have to reinforce the behavior that we want to see consistently. However, it is difficult to see the behavior, the ideal behavior, if the mentor is not reflecting that behavior through their outward expression of who they perceive themselves to be. What is motivated for one young person is not motivating for another. This is very crucial, because we have to understand that youth are from different backgrounds. Everybody has purpose, but the end result of their purpose is not exactly the same. It has the same, their purpose serves the same purpose, is to restore humanity to their proper identity. And this is a Cage Rehoboth and After Ministries definition. However, the method and the outcome on a natural level may be different. And why I'm saying this, because the interests of one young person may not be identical to the next. Let's take a quick break so we can, soak up the information. Then we'll come back and do the last portion of this part one work. I was finishing off on the last segment, and I was discussing how young people have different interests. It's important to ask them what they're interested in, because whatever they're interested in is a connector to what they value. And when you understand what they value and they're open enough to follow you, you can bring them to an experience of reflecting positive behavior through positive reinforcement. I want to reinforce the behavior ideally that I want to see. Therefore, I'm going to acknowledge that. I may say good job. I may give them a clap. I may give them a pat on the shoulder. There's some form of verbal expression and nonverbal expression that affirms and reaffirms the positive behavior and the outcome that we desire to see. Also, mentoring can be considered as working alone the person you are teaching and inviting him or her to learn from your example. This is notated from the Society of Petroleum Engineers. So it's a one-on-one relationship. It's a long-term development tool. Mentoring is a process. Underline, highlight. Mentoring is a process. It's ongoing, in which the mentor serves humility as a role model, a trusted counselor, or a teacher who provides opportunity for development, growth, and support to less experienced individuals. A process is ongoing. You can, the unrealistic expectation is that the mentee is going to get the information that you supply for them, and they're going to walk in that information overnight or in a month or in 2 months. No, they have to rid themselves of different life experiences and perceptions in order to receive the wisdom and digest it in their hearts, and it becomes a part of their toolkit of life. It's difficult because if parents don't know what the child is being mentored or taught intentionally, then the behavior can't be reinforced because they don't know what's taking place. The mentor is a servant, not a dictator. A servant. Service takes place of humility. Service means that my responsibility is to identify the needs. I need to do a needs analysis on this individual based on what they tell me about their life and based upon what they tell me where their life is going. Role model, a model. What behavior am I modeling? We'll touch upon modeling in another podcast, but I can tell you modeling is in reference to demonstrating appropriate behavior to students, because students, young people learn from what we say, but they learn more from what we don't say as far as the behavior that we reflect on a consistent basis. The mentor also provides opportunities for development, growth, and support to less experienced individuals. So the mentor is providing the opportunities for growth. Meaning, do you want to be a part of this? Not, you're going to be a part of this. Depending on my mentees and our relationship, sometimes I will pull my G card. Sometimes I will pull rank and tell them this is what you need to do. But it's through relationship. More times than not, I ask them, is this an opportunity that you feel as though can help you? But at times, they don't understand where their life is going. I may have a better understanding, and I may see an opportunity, and they may perceive it as an obstacle because it's rooted in fear, and it's not something that they particularly want to get involved in. And the encouragement and the firmness and the assertiveness gives them the confidence that I can see that in them, and it encourages them to move forward. But also, and lastly, I walk in what I'm teaching them through conversation and demonstration from my personal life. We must walk in, because if they don't see the fruit of what we are trying to convey to them, then they don't have the confidence to do it. And that's also a form of hypocrisy. This is helping your child with their homework. I'm hoping and praying that this will help you and provide, hopefully I provided some clarity for you, those who are listening to this podcast. It is of utmost importance, and I repeat, for us to internalize the behavior. It's important for us, our minds, to be transformed in our internal thinking, because these situations that I shared with you at the beginning of the podcast are here. We can no longer just be in response externally to these type of financial situations. We got it, but the time to start was yesterday, but you can make up for yesterday by responding now. If you got any questions, feedback, feel free to reach out to me. I'm gonna put this on a couple of social media platforms. Feel free to comment in the sections below. Also, you can reach me on the inbox, and you can reach me direct in two places. On my email at divorcethepass@gmail.com, and also via cell phone at 773-599-1133. Have a happy July 3rd to all of my people all over the world. This is Coach Cage, and this will be part two of helping your child with their homework. If you refer back to our previous podcast, you would understand that we redefine homework according to life skills. And the homework meaning that what we learn in the building has to be taken out of the building and applied. One aspect that we did touch on yesterday was mentoring. I gave some definitions of mentoring from a resource that I acquired when I was at Joliet Job Corps. And the title of this resource was the Career Success Standards Conference Guide, National Office of Job Corps. We touched on Let Me Look Real Fast. Yep, we touched on mentoring as the foundation. The idea of caring, that if a caring concerned adult is available to a young person, they will be more likely to become successful adults. And the citation was from Adolescent Problem Behavior, the Influence of Attachment and Autonomy, Psychiatric Clinics of North America. Authors was Amber Allen and Jay Leadbeater. And we gave a couple of definitions concerning mentoring, which is important because it transitions into modeling, which I'll talk on today, and in efforts to help us get a clearer understanding of how to help our kids with their homework in terms of the application of what they learned in the building, whether you're speaking about a school or in terms of any community organizations. That's relative to me because I work in different communities, and the one major fallback of teaching kids information and giving them wisdom and giving them knowledge and the understanding and the application and real life examples is that when they go home, I'm not sure if it's being modeled there. I'm not saying that it is or it is not. I'm saying that I don't know. And the most effective way to me, from my professional experience and years of teaching, being taught, mentoring, and being mentored, is that behavior, those ideas and those concepts and those subjects and topics need to be conversed about at home, and they also have to be consistently demonstrated in order for it to be engrafted into our kids' psyche. Now, one aspect that we miss oftentimes, and I was on a call with an awesome young lady that runs a anger management program organization for several years in the Will County region, was we missed the aspect of purpose. And my question to anybody that's listening to this, which I wrote down after our conversation, was, what is God's purpose for the life that he has given you? And I give you that question because without a person discovering their purpose, the reason why they were created and their identity, who they are and their destiny, where their life is supposed to be headed according to their identity and their purpose, the decision that a person would make would be outside of that constraint without understanding who they are, what they've been called to do, where they've been called to go, and whose they are. For me, it's important as a faith-based person to understand that my purpose is in God. I'm living his life to the best of my ability. As my relationship continues to build with him, he gives me insights and to do and what not to do and different thoughts and feelings and emotions and the whole experience of engaging a literal human being is originates and finds itself in Christ. That has helped me tremendously minimize problems, make wise decisions. Sometimes you make mistakes on your evolution, but trial and error is part of the process, as long as the process to evolve and to grow into realizing your full potential and understanding your true identity, your destiny, and your purpose. So I give that as a prelude. That's a setup going into helping our children with their homework. Walking the talk, being consistent. One statement that I gave that I cannot get away from is that the transformation of our inward thinking changes our outward behavior. From a societal perspective, society normally teaches us to go outward in by surface methods, coping mechanisms, skills, and strategies. nothing wrong with those aspects of, at all, as long as they're placed in their rightful place. Internally, we have to understand who we are, because it's the internal transformation of our thinking that reflects the change of our outward behavior. Our outward behavior, the change, I don't even want to say the improvement, because the improvement is an add-on. We want to release that behavior and we want to replace it with new behavior according to our true purpose, identity, and destiny. But it takes the transformation, and it's a term that people aren't familiar with, is regeneration. And maybe on another future podcast, we'll discuss that in detail. However, the transformation, the metamorphosis from the caterpillar to the butterfly, as far as my thinking and our thinking, will result in a change of outward behavior. First, it has to start with the parents. It starts with God, trickles into the parents, and then the parents reflect that image or reflect that those concepts and ideas to the teenagers, children, unconsciously. Sometimes we consciously do stuff, but there's unconscious aspects, actions, and behaviors that we partake in that we are not aware of, and it's resulting in a perceived identity to our children. It can be positive or it can be negative. However, transitioning, I want to give you some practical methods under the guise of understanding who you are, or under the umbrella or expression of who you are, and walk you step by step into this process that we call at Joliet Job Corps the 3 M's: the model, the mentor, and the monitor. Remember, this is a key note before I go into the details of this podcast itself, is that these practical methods are under the expression of understanding who you are. And I'm speaking in Christ, because that's the experience that I'm speaking from. It's very important to understand anybody that's teaching you any information that you're taking in, whether it be in the form of entertainment, whether it be in the form of informal teaching, formal teaching, is that individual or individuals, groups of people, are casting imaginations, visions, and ideas from their perceived identity, whether it be through their conversation, whether it be through their actions, whether it be through their nonverbal or verbal facial expressions, is being cast from that place at all times. It's up to us to be able to discern that and be able to make a decision of what we allow into our gates, our eye gate, our ear gate, our heart gate, all the gates, and what we disallow. Sometimes things get in that's not supposed to be there. We have to cast down vain imaginations. And for me, I ask God to any ill weeds or any seeds of discord or any seeds of dysfunction that's not like you, rid them out of me, God. That's my safety blanket if I just make a mistake or fall into temptation of entertaining conversations that will take me all outside of my purpose and destiny. Practical methods. We introduced a mentor as a coach and support for young people. We won't reiterate that. I want to transition into modeling. All right. Modeling to me would be first before you begin to mentor. Modeling can be defined as demonstrating the appropriate behavior to the young people. And remember, I'm getting some of these thoughts when I'm reading in a monotone type of expression from the Career Success Standards Conference guide. I'm trying to look at my time because I want to break this up in order for it not to be as long. So I'll touch on the modeling aspect, and I think that'll be it for this segment of helping your child with their homework. Modeling. The two most important factors for effective modeling are the importance or prestige of the model and the model similarity to the student. As an adult, you serve as a model, whether or not this is conscious on your part. It's important because we don't understand at times how our kids look at us. Our kids look at us from an authority perspective, but they also look at us from a safety aspect. Safety and authority walks hand in hand. When I see my dad, I see a man of authority. I see a man that provides for me in safety. These are characteristics of expression of what they see. But also, the similarity. Similarity to me is reflective of connection. When a young person can see something inside of us that they can connect with, whether it be through just their vision or us communicating, there's a connector. When you can connect, the relationship is built and the trust is solidified between you and your child, you and your mentee, you and your player, or you and your student. These are pivotal aspects and critical to the growth and development of the child and helping them apply the intrinsic values and characteristics of a person who walks in integrity and sincerity and in truth. In addition, it is important to remember that we always serve as a model. Young people watch how we behave, and they observe, and what they observe shapes their experience and understanding of what is and what's not acceptable. They also observe how we interact with others and how we deal with conflict, how we follow the rules, and how we treat other people. That encompasses a whole lot. So they'll sit back and watch how we interact, if we follow instructions, how we deal with conflict, if we follow the rules. We cannot, I repeat before we go into this break in this segment, we cannot expect our kids to say, do, and live things that we don't. That is an unrealistic expectation that will result in frustration and other negative thoughts and emotions that will build a wedge between us and our children. With that being said, we will transition into a pause for a station identification, and we will be back very, very, very soon. I want to keep this momentum going in terms of modeling. We came to the agreement that it's important to know that we serve as a model. Kids are always watching our behavior. They observe. And how they observe shapes their understanding. I want to talk about the shaping and the molding of experiences that our children experience. It comes from observation. It comes from their own interpretation. There's a best practice that I use in regards to working with my godsons, nieces, nephews, those who God has called me to mentor. There are some aspects of their life that I don't leave them room to interpret. There are some aspects of their life that I don't leave them room to interpret because it can become a handicap. I had a situation where one of my godsons was working with me and a person cursed in their language towards them. The person didn't curse at them. The person didn't call them a curse word, but the person cursed in their language. And I knew in my heart that I had to rectify that issue. And what I did was that I pulled my son to the side and I told him, I know you feel some type of way about that, but I want to let you know that that person didn't personalize that. They weren't saying that towards you. This is how they talk. However, if I see this happen again or the behavior becomes consistent, I will address that person because your parent put you in my care for safety. And my son said, yeah, I did feel some type of way. Because I understand his dynamic to a certain degree as far as his emotions. My responsibility as a protector is to protect any thought, idea, culture, experience, person, place, or thing that would take him out of a place of safety on a spiritual, mental, social, emotional, financial space. That's my goal. I will not allow his safety to be compromised. Modeling has also shown to be especially effective and developing social skills. Appropriate classroom behavior, for example, staying on task and working with others. Employability skills, which consists of being punctual and taking the initiative. These are essential skills and behaviors you model to your kids, to your students, to your players, as they are ongoing and not always consciously displayed. And this is an amazing dynamic, because a person's behavior will proceed from their perceived identity. Therefore, if I perceive myself to be one way, my behavior will proceed or come from that, and it can be either edifying or damaging to anybody that I come into contact with, because I believe in my psyche that that's a part of my being, that's a part of my makeup, that's a part of my behavior. And many people have fell victim to that because us as parents, we may not have understood who we were or who we truly are at a point in time, and our behavior came from that channel. And because our kids live in the same household and they observe our behaviors, consciously or unconsciously, behaviors that have been exuded from us, then they take on that same persona. They take on those same limitations. And it's meant for us to break out. Meant for us to break out of those limitations, because some limitations are self-imposed and some limitations are restricted for safety purposes. That's a general statement. You got to interpret it and put your own tagline on it as far as how it applies in your life. And let me see the last part of this modeling piece, which is a good segue to finish this podcast, is walking the talk. Whatever behavior that I desire from my student, from my child, from my player, from my mentee, from my niece or nephew, it has to be walked out. I'm a very diplomatic individual in terms of coming to or using conflict resolution to resolve problems. And I talk often, I ask a lot of questions, and I put my kids in a space where they can observe the conversation. It may be one-on-one from me to them. It may be one-on-one from me to another individual, but I put them in those places. And if they're not a part of the conversation, they are an observant. As a coach, I'm demonstrating the behavior that I want to see. I'm modeling the behavior. And when they observe it, I ask them, what did you see? And then I'll add to their thoughts for clarity purposes and how it looks when they apply it in their life. It's good for them to recite it based on what I said in their own interpretations, but it's better for me to see them in society, to see them in action, making mistakes, experiencing triumphs in terms of applying what I give them in their life. This is segment or part two of how to help your child with their homework through the practical application of life skills in terms of modeling, mentoring, and the last will be monitoring in terms of supervising the ideal behavior that you want to see from your young person. Thank you for listening. Today is July the 3rd, 2019. I pray and I hope that you have an awesome, awesome holiday, a safe holiday. Enjoy it with your loved ones. Don't make it a one-time event. Make it an experience of a lifetime.